I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the SmackDown After Show. Thank you all for hanging out with us. We're all hanging out on Skype, trying to break down what definitely was arguably the craziest week in some time in the world of WWE. Plus, there was SmackDown, too. I won't break it all down. Our poll proof is with me. She is Miss Gatherin. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm really blessed and happy to be here for another week. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And then we got Mr. Tom Connolly.
Hello. I'm here, too.
You are here, too. You know who else is here, too? Brian Santos is here, too. He's right there.
Hello. In my Sonya Deville shirt. She was the star of this episode. I'm ready to talk about it.
Yes, no, she definitely was. I'm agreeing with you there. We'll get into that in a minute. Now, for those of you that regularly watch our show and have followed us over the years, and we love and appreciate you all very much, you know, a lot of times we spend most of the show breaking down SmackDown, and then somewhere around the last 5 to 10 minutes, Gabby crushes it with a wrestling rap, and we
I would not talk about the news. 5 to 10 minutes. It's about like 3 minutes, according to you.
It feels like three because it goes so quick. But this week, because all hell broke loose in the world of professional wrestling, our recap of SmackDown is going to be fairly quick. And there's going to be a lot more time wrestling wrap because we got a lot to discuss. So we'll just get right into SmackDown and go right to it. So it starts with a moment of bliss with the Universal Champion Braun Strowman, the guest. Pretty much he's reminding everybody with everything that happened previously with Bray Wyatt, saying Bray didn't create me. That happens to be a present in the corner. Braun grabs it, thinks Alexa gave it to him, and it's a black sheep mask, where then Michael Cole and Corey Graves remind everyone that when Braun was in the Wyatt family, he was known as the black sheep. And then you hear Bray's laughter, and that's that. Anyone want to make a comment on that? I mean, it was a nice little step in the chapter with everything that they're doing, but nothing that jumped out.
I love the start to this. I love Alexa Bliss as well, Brian Santos. And just watching her, I was thinking to myself, wow, she would actually be an amazing backstage host if she ever decided that like she needed to retire from wrestling. Mm-hmm. She could just be a talking head and doesn't need to wrestle because she's so good at it. Yes. And I loved this segment with her and Nikki Cross. I thought even in moments where they're cheersing with their coffee mugs, the slight pauses are so well done and well thought out. And then now bringing in Braun Strowman, having this segment, it was pretty short, but very effective, got to the point. You know, we saw what Bray was going to allude to, which is, you know, you're next. These are my mind games. And I think Braun Strowman came off at the start, but then once he received his present at the corner of the ring, he realized, you know, this could be a little bit unknown territory for him.
For sure. I thought it was like a little bit interesting. I 100% agree that Alexa was the star and as Nikki as well, but not really feeling Braun's promos. We all probably know that he's not the best at promos. He's probably learning, getting a little bit better. But I think this one was a little bit cringy. Like, it comes across a little bit strange, but hopefully he gets better because he is the Universal Champion and he should be the best one on the mic.
What do you mean, Bryant? What am I going to do? What am I going to do on this episode of SmackDown? I mean,
guys, breaking news. Braun Strowman calling in and joining our Skype call.
Hey, bro. Oh,
I agree. It's like they give him just the words and he just spits them out. It's no, the feeling is not really there when he cuts a promo, which I mean, he's getting better at. He doesn't do it a lot, so I get that. I wish they would have at least added some more Bray elements to this to where it would have been cool if everything kind of like shut down like they normally do, and then like lights would have popped on and then the present would have been there. Maybe something at least to like, you know, add something to it.
Could have also been a thing where, whether it was cinematic or whether Alexa or Nikki didn't notice, like say the lights go out, let's come back on, and Alexa and Nikki both are wearing the black sheet mask.
Oh my god, I was scared.
You know, just like, you know, like obviously not by them, but like all of a sudden they happen to be wearing it, or you know, to keep getting in his head.
Yeah, and then be like, and then like ask them questions still, like act like they don't have them on. And he's like, mm-hmm. freaking out. Like, why are you wearing these masks? And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm not wearing masks. Mask. Yeah.
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 I don't agree with that. I'm not a fan of that.
Same, I'm scared of that.
Also, by the way, I really loved the graphics that they had on the intro to this segment with the faces above. Did you guys notice that?
Oh yeah, they've been doing like 3D things. Above. Yeah, like where the
head
came out with Alexa.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love their graphics. They've been obviously adding in more graphics ever since they experimented with it at one of the WrestleManias in the past. And now they've been doing it more frequently. And it's just really fun and entertaining. So it like adds an extra element to like what we're seeing in the performance center. Because it's not just the layout of the ring and the empty arena. And now we have these extra graphics. So it just pushes it up to the next level, I think, performance-wise.
Sasha Banks versus Tamina. If Tamina wins, she gets a shot at Bayley's title. Bayley's out on commentary. This match is, you know, fairly basic as it's going through. They're playing up the game of being afraid and intimidated by Tamina. Eventually, 2-on-1 advantage is happening, but Lacey Evans runs out to make the save. Looks like she injures her wrist when she, or something on her hand arm, when she jumps in and clocks, when she clocks Sasha. And eventually, super kicked by Tamina. And did she hit Bayley? I'm sorry. There's too much craziness, man. She was aiming for Sasha because she rubbed Sasha on her damn glove. Tamina super kicks Sasha, gets the win. She'll have a title shot. And we're playing a game of we're scared of Tamina. All right.
Tamina Mahal strikes again.
I saw this one. Have you guys seen that? Like when Charlotte's like Char 10 and she uses like a hashtag, you know, she's like 10 times. So I saw someone tweet like Tamina is coming and they're like the I in her name is a 1. And I'm like, her first championship. Why is it wrong with you people?
She has been around so long and has never won. It's incredible.
I'm all for it. If we're going to do it, it's going to happen. Like, let her win.
If she's ever going to win it, it's now or never. I mean, yeah. It's real.
Yeah.
Sheamus beats a jobber or NXT guy, Denzel, whatever. Bro kick, Cole and Corey start talking about Jeff Hardy again. Sheamus this time gets in Cole's face about it. So, like we talked about last week, all right, Devin, looks like we're going to have a Sheamus-Jeff Hardy feud, which I'm cool with.
Dude, but do you think it's like, it just goes back to the whole thing of like, Sheamus was literally brought there for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's like, and we saw later, like, other people weren't there. Why not just be like, hey, Sheamus was supposed to have a match, and then, like, just play a video of him, like, destroying stuff, like, bro kicking, like, I don't know, like, pieces of wood or, like, doors down or something, you know? Yeah. And be like, why am I showing up? And he could also just cut a promo and be like, Jeff Hardy's not here. Why do I have to show up? Like, I don't know. It seems kind of a waste.
Jeff Hardy got more TV time than him, and he wasn't even there.
Exactly.
That's a very good point. I definitely agree. I don't think there's a need at this point to have people down at the Performance Center like mandated to perform and execute this show if it's going to be under a 5-minute match. Like, it just makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi versus Dana Brooke, Money in the Bank qualifying match. We're all sitting there thinking, it's like, okay, well, Naomi's going to be in. Fine. It's too bad that they're having Dana not get a shot because they're clearly going to have Naomi win. Nope, wrong. Dana Brooke rolls up Naomi, gets the win. She is insanely excited, and Naomi's going like this on camera. Having a pouty face because she ain't in Money in the Bank, but Dana Brooke is, and she joins as of right now Shayna Baszler, Asuka, and Nia Jax. This was certainly a surprise.
Yeah, it was a surprise for me too, actually. I love Naomi. I think she's so phenomenal. She's so athletic. But then Dana Brooke, I look at Dana Brooke, and I was seeing their backstage promos, her and Carmella, and I felt like they were actually going to allow... To me, I wasn't surprised, actually. Like, I was surprised that Naomi wasn't given the opportunity, but I wasn't surprised that Dana Brooke won because I felt that that's where the writing was going and storyline. And I think that it's about time that they, like, put Carmella back in and put Dana Brooke in and give them a little bit of a push because it just seems like they're not really doing much right now. So it's good to like get them back in the mix and maybe give Dana Brooke an opportunity to have something on SmackDown she's never really had before.
Yeah, I think so too. I love that Dana won. I was sad that Naomi wasn't, and I hope that they're finding a way to include Naomi, like maybe do like a second chance match or something like that. Because I think she's one of the best in the women's match, like in Money in the Bank match in general. Like every time she's in it, she always shows out. She always does an amazing job. So I would love to have her in it again. And especially this new format we're going to talk about. It'll be really interesting to see her in that. But yeah, I was really surprised that Dana won, but I'm happy that she's in it.
Yeah, right. I think it's just leading to either a match where either they're going for the tag titles at the same pay-per-view, and then Dana doesn't win Money in the Bank, and they lose the tag titles, and Carmella turns on her. I think it's leading to a Carmella heel turn. Or, like, they lose the tag title match, and then she's still in Money in the Bank, and then Carmella costs her Money in the Bank at the end of that to, like, you know, start this feud. It needs something to start it, because I don't see... They're not going
to
be...
Yeah, there needs to be a reason to start the feud.
Yeah, I don't see them being a tag team.
Like, I do.
Too random.
I see them being a tag team. I actually would like to see them as a tag team. I think they'd be really fun together. I could see them being as good as, like, the Iconics or as in, like, character-wise and everything.
Oh, so disagree with you on that. No one's better than the Iconics.
Well, I love the Iconics. That's what I'm saying. I love them. So I want Dana Brooke and Carmella to match that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's a good thing in my book. Like, I want them to be as strong of a tag team as these girls. I look at them as a strong tag team. Who else is really strong? Well, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross to me are like, really strong. So I feel like they'd be up there in that same category.
Same here.
I'm fine with them having the one match and then feuding, like Tom. Hey, speaking of friends and then feuding, how about Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, guys? So really was the big moment of this show. And I really think this was the big turning point of Sonya Deville's career tonight.
Can we talk about how when she came out, the graphics on the side said former this, former that, like everything was all negative. Former friend of Mandy Rose. It was just
that so was funny. Hilarious.
So Sonya's out in the ring calling out Mandy almost in tears as she's trying to get her friend to come out. Mandy eventually comes out and Sonya, you know, finally gets the courage to say, "You're selfish." And then flip of the switch, all of a sudden Sonya is just a jackass. I'm sick of always being in your shadow. She definitely made a comment that got social media abuzz when she said something along, I'm paraphrasing here, but she said something along the lines of, just thinking of you and Otis makes me gag, but you would already know that spending time with Otis.
I was like,
So you would think PG wise, oh, it's because he's smelly. Social media didn't take it like that. I thought it was smelling too, and then I went on Twitter which was a mistake Twitter's unrated.
I got it both ways. I also saw it both ways, but yes, I think they were going for the smelly aspect.
Oh, they're definitely going for the smell.
Usually gag over like the smell of something. Like they might like be nauseous.
You've never been around.
You never say gag over the smell of that.
Oh my god.
Well, I mean, I don't know, Josh, unless you have a different experience you want to share.
That's the late night show. It's a
late night episode. Late night, FYI.
Yeah, it airs very late. Very, very
That's wrestling very Twitter late. After dark.
Yes.
Oh, my God. No.
Who started that hashtag? No, I didn't.
I am
traumatized. Instead of Christian's
Closet. I was
waiting
for your picture to show up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's staying deep in Christian's closet.
God.
But yeah, Sonya continued just verbally badgering Mandy. And she mentioned, like, and you know the saddest part? Dolph actually cares about you. And this was an exchange of him I was trying to help him in exchange for him going to help us win the tag titles. Hey, so the tag titles. And mentions Mandy's a dime a dozen, but now I'm going to ruin your life. Then Ziggler shows up. I feel Ziggler is the victim in all of this all of a sudden. Because he comes
me
out.
Too. I turned on all of these.
He's like, look, Mandy, I made a mistake. Okay, we made a mistake. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it up to you. Then Sonya clocks Mandy. They start brawling. Otis runs out. Otis and Ziggler start brawling. It was, I thought it was a really well done segment overall. Tom, I'll start with you on it.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, the acting was, you know, what we would expect. I feel like Ziggler sometimes tries too hard. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, we know you're not like really interested in her. You know what I mean? Like I know this is a storyline, so it's like, I don't know. He just was trying a little too hard. But I agree. Yeah, he did look like the sympathetic one in this. Where you're like, oh yeah. But then then you think of what he did though. Like they, you know, lied to Otis, made him show up late, and you know all that kind of stuff.
Have you ever seen like the She's All That movies? Okay, they start off being bad and then realize the good in the person and become the nice guy at the end. Come on.
But yeah, I mean, I thought a great promo from Sonya.
Mm-hmm. I'll go next. So in the beginning, I was kind of like, Sonya, I don't know how I feel about this because she's up here crying for Mandy. Mandy, you're not answering my calls, but it seems so disingenuous. Like, I just wasn't feeling it. And I didn't know if it was, like, inauthentic or if it's that she actually is just, not acting well right now. Then she comes out, right? Mandy comes out and she addresses the situation. I really liked their interaction. But Sonya had said to Rose, that she had been like living in the shadows and, mm-hmm. and she was going to ruin Rose's life because of this situation. And the whole thing was like for the tag team. Right. But really no, like this is what confused me about the promo. I'm not sure if it was a writing thing or a Sonya thing, but, or a character driven thing, but why exactly is living in someone's shadows a reason for you to destroy someone's relationship? It has nothing to do with getting you the tag team championship titles or a match, nonetheless. So I didn't really understand like the tie-in here. But to me, I was feeling like it was going character-wise into a direction where like, we know Sonya is a lesbian and like she is interested in women. So like maybe they're going to go to the storyline of that. Mm-hmm. Like, Sonya's actually interested in Mandy and like is jealous. That Mandy's same. Interested in this guy, Otis, and so, like, it's affecting their relationship because Sonya has a secret crush on Mandy. So that's what I'm getting from the situation because otherwise I don't understand, like, why she would kitchen sink all these random things in that don't really connect and will not get her to, like, the things she actually is looking to achieve.
Yeah, I agree. I think I was seeing it more like a personal perspective. Like you said, like, you know, watching them on the show, on Total Divas, like, they have an obviously really close relationship. So I thought it was just the whole idea of like, you know, we've been friends for so long and, you know, just as a friend or as in a personal relationship, not still career driven. So I did agree with you that when they threw in the whole like tag titles, I was like, where did that come from? But yeah. I definitely did turn on Otis when Dolph came out. I was like, man, I think I'm on Dolph's side now, but because I love a good heel. So I'm ready for, I actually want Sonya and Dolph to win this feud. And did anyone else think, and this is probably a reach, but I saw this on Twitter too, that it was kind of like Trish and Lita vibes, like the way Sonya looked, the way Mandy looked, like, you know, very like centerfold, the whole thing they talked about centerfold, like a model that. Versus like a badass.
It was the
girl.
Way they were, yeah. It was the way she was dressed. I saw a picture where it was like she basically was wearing like a Lita outfit, which I thought was cool. Like,
I'm ready for Trish and Lita 2.0. So,
did anybody think that Sonya was going to be like, Mandy, I love you. Like, I'm in love with you.
Yeah, same.
Like, that's where I thought it was kind of going to go. But yeah, then it didn't go that way.
Yeah, so that we all thought that. Josh, did you feel the same way?
I mean, I felt like, obviously, it could. But I do think they're still trying to refrain from having someone's legit personal sexuality be in a storyline. That's what they never did it with Darren Young. Mm-hmm. I don't foresee them doing it with Jake Atlas. I don't think they're going to do it with Sonya Deville.
However, I do think it's more acceptable when women do it as opposed to men. So, like,
Sure.
I think men and women are more used to like girls kissing as opposed to like two men kissing. Not that I don't have any problem with it. Like I like it doesn't faze me, but I think commercial and mainstream wise, I think it's less common WWE would do something like that.
Yeah, they did HLA. They did Hot Lesbian Action.
So. Well, they did.
Let's just not.
Times have changed since then, but they have done it in the past. But we'll continue to wait and see. I think we're all pretty much in agreement. This is probably going to be a Money in the Bank, a mixed tag match with the four of them to then see where it goes from there. Money in the Bank qualifying match on the men's side, Cesaro versus Daniel Bryan. First couple minutes of the match, we have the video glitch hacker guy, aka Mustafa Ali, even though it's not really Mustafa Ali.
That was so weird.
Same, I was like...
Yeah, it came out, and pretty much he's making a target at tag teams, but then nothing happened. And then it just went right back to the match, or went to commercial or something like that at that point.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But it was just like very odd placement for it. And to me, it just kind of threw me off of the match itself. LaBelle locked, so Daniel Bryan gets to win and will be in Money in the Bank. But it's like I felt thrown off by this match that we were going to get with Cesaro and Daniel Bryan. I was just like, what the hell did Hacker Guy have to do with it?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I just thought it was like, why did they just do like the little like symbol that they've been doing, like the little clock email thing over it at least? Like I was watching and I kind of like looked at, I was like, wait, did it go to commercial? Is this match over? Like, what is happening right now? And then it just came back from commercial and then they were still wrestling and it was like nothing ever happened. You're like, okay, sure.
So Dan O'Brien's in. But let's take a quick minute though to talk about the fact of this year's Money in the Bank ladder match itself. Now that we, you know, had the qualifying match that happened on SmackDown. So we loved the cinematic stuff they did at WrestleMania with the Boneyard match and the Firefly Funhouse. We're just like, okay, they can do things like this. It will look good. Just don't do a lot of it because then we'll get sick of it. And a few weeks later, they announce, all right, we're going to do a thing where you're starting from the bottom of the corporate headquarters and you have to get to the roof and then climb the ladder to get the briefcase. It's going to be fun to watch. I do think it's going to be fun. I'm interested in two things. One, because they're going to have to try to make the same match different twice because you have the same exact rules for both matches. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go through the same rooms or whatever. You got to figure out how they're going to do that. And B, are we going to start getting this on every pay-per-view now? Because then we're really going to get sick of it quick.
I don't know. I'm not sick of it yet, so I can't really predict that far in the future. But I do think that they like what they're producing. Probably Vince is happy with the product, and the fans probably have shown that they loved it. Like all of these side segments, I want to call them, where they're not necessarily in the ring, but they're incorporating all these other dynamics and locations and even the editing. So I think that it's making it a little bit more cinematic and interesting for now.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do? You don't have a live audience.
Yeah. I'm not sick of it either. I think it'll be fun to watch, but I 100% agree with you, Josh. I didn't even realize it's basically the same match. So what's going to happen? Yeah. How are they going to make it different? So that'll be really interesting to see. I'm excited to see how it works with the women. You know, we've only kind of seen it with two men's matches, which is Boneyard and Firefly Funhouse. So I want to see how they incorporate the women and use them in this match.
Yeah. I mean, I'll reserve judgment till after it happens.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, it could be really cool. I mean, I think it's an interesting concept that they're doing.
Oh, it absolutely does. I'm also just worried that like Vince or someone, they're going to like it so much that when the crowds start coming back, they're still going to have some type of cinematic match for the live crowd.
I don't think they'll do that. Because then the live crowd would be like, what's going on? I mean, they can't do it live. That's not possible.
They've done it before. They've done matches that aren't like taking place in the arena. It just has to be really,
really.
And they've been scolded. before.
They've done that, yes, but not like this. Like this, you could tell they're editing it in post. You could tell that there's certain things that aren't, they didn't just tape that live and it was like, this is what it is and this is the go. No, they took it to post-production and worked with it a little bit. So I don't think they could do that with a live audience to the same extent that they're doing it right now.
Yeah, we all remember the Randy Orton Bray Wyatt match.
That wasn't it. That was not it.
That was their tester.
Yeah.
And now they've come a long way.
Well, they failed that test, though. So
yeah.
I mean...
yeah, they, yes, they did.
They didn't fail it. They learned from it, right? Like, okay, every
yeah, true, true. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, thankfully, the teacher was nice enough to write the correct answers instead of just put a big X on it. Said, this is wrong. You should have done this. So, okay, they studied. Elias backstage, he's attacked by Corbin, so that's still happening. Whatever that's that. Okay. Main event, Big E versus Miz versus Jey Uso. Triple threat singles match for the tag team titles. Yep. And after we had like a 20-plus minute ladder match masterpiece at WrestleMania with the other three, this goes 6, maybe 7 minutes. And Big E pin Miz, like, out of the blue. And all of a sudden, New Day, just like that, are 8-time tag team champions.
Mm-hmm.
What? I was not expecting that, number one. And I don't mind seeing something I don't expect, but it's just, like, the quickness of it. And you've been putting Miz and Morrison over so much as a team.
Yeah.
Why did we do this now?
Is it to, like, now... like have those two break up so then Morrison can blame the Miz and be like, well, I never lost. I won my match. You lost your match and lost the belt.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I like them as are we going to break them up after we've been pushing them like this so quickly?
No, I don't like that either. So I'm just, I don't know. I don't get the explanation. I just think it's weird. It was such a weird, it was a weird ending to the match where I was like, was it Jimmy or Jay? I can't remember which one who was in this match.
Jay.
I was like, oh, he's going to get up. He was only in the figure four. And then, like, he's just laying there. I was like, okay. I mean, Big E celebration was probably the best part.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy Big E got the win. But at the same time, I don't think writing-wise, I would have done that if I was on the creative team. Because I feel as though we should have given Miz and Morrison more opportunity to continue as tag team champions. And the New Day work best with a live audience as tag team champions.
Yeah.
So why not wait until the live audience can come back into the picture and then have them have that win?
Totally agree with that. Yes.
The only thing I can think of is that Xavier Woods is ready to come back and they're trying to bring it back to some fanfare, which would be them as tag team champions. But besides that, I agree with you guys. I don't understand why they won in the first place.
The paint by numbers isn't complete yet.
I'm telling you,
when the paint by numbers is complete, that's when Woods is coming back. Biggie's jacket is still like completely white. Like, it hasn't been colored in yet. And a torn Achilles takes time, people. It takes time to come back from that.
Plus, I think I agree with you, Gabby, of like, why would we give them this win? Because I think whenever we are able to have crowds and arenas again, if Miz and Morrison went on this long run of being tag champs for a long time, and then we finally have that match where there's actual people, the place would go crazy because they're seeing something, you know, we're building these people up and like they don't lose. And then, you know, I don't know. I just think it's a weird thing to do this or take. I almost, now that WrestleMania is over, like, I don't understand why anyone would lose their title right now. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Like, why have them title changes with no audience?
Yeah.
Likewise, I would pretty much put money on whatever that first Raw or SmackDown is for the live audience will be when we see a cash-in with the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Probably, like, yeah.
We won't have a cash-in. That first Raw or SmackDown, someone will cash in to get the spark, to get the energy going from the crowd, even more so because they're already going to be excited to be there. But yeah, we'll see. But you know what? I think we have a couple news items we need to discuss. A couple like small tidbits happened in the world of wrestling over the last week.
Yeah.
Gabby was able, she had to dig very deep over the internet to find them because not many people were talking about them.
I had to go to the Boneyard.
Yes.
you had to unbury AJ.
Yeah.
All right.
He had all the news.
He had them all, and that's why he was buried alive, because Undertaker was very scared that this news was going to get out, and I saved him so that he could tell us all.
Makes sense, and you're a hero for that, Gabby, so thank you for that. All right, we got an extra, like, triple or quadruple XL super size edition of Wrestling Wrap starting now.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to, like, take this, cut it, and add it into my own separate segment for later on so I can upload this to my channel. This is our Wrestling Wrap for the week. There is loads of stuff happening in the wrestling world, as you know, and if you have updates, please feel free to chime in. But we're going to go through as much as possible. Ton of WWE layoffs within the last few days. Vince McMahon decided to cut a big portion of his roster by either laying them off or furloughing. And so we're going to go through some of those names right now. And there's even been some more that have been recently added to the list as of today. So we have Curt Hawkins, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, Heath Slater, Eric Young, Rowan, Sarah Logan, EC3, Aiden English, Leo Rush, Primo, Epico, Zack Ryder, No Way Jose, Mike Canales, Ref Mike Chioda, Lance Storm. They recently added to this list Cassius Ohno, a.k.a. Chris Hero, who was furloughed. Actually, can't confirm he was furloughed. We're not sure. It was either laid off or furloughed. Also, we have 47-year-old Chris Guy, who signed on recently in 2019 as a coach and had recently, prior to that, worked with Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, and many indies. And he was also in WWE developmental from 2004 through 2007. And he was also given an axe recently. And it was said on Twitter, because this was obviously trending. It was one of the top trending things. And if you looked even under trending on Twitter when those WWE releases came out, a lot of those names were like filling the top 10, like across the globe. Rusev was one of the highest trending names on Twitter that day. So Liam Stewart had posted this, and we had shared this in our little group message on Twitter. He had said, according to at WWE corporate website, these cuts save $4 million, also known as what WWE paid Goldberg for Saudi and Mania. So what are your guys' thoughts on everything? And actually, I'll get to you guys in a second, because I want to hear what you think about Vince laying off all these people to save him $4 million a month when he's paying big superstars in the industry like Goldberg for two appearances, that same amount of money he's about to save from cutting 30-plus employees. But before we get to your answer on that, I also want to bring up the fact that the WWE universe really came together when these WWE releases were put out there. And we had so many people in the business, from Paige to Renee Young to Lexi Kaufman, who's known as Alexa Bliss, you know, come out and say things on Twitter, just speak their piece. You know, Lexi said, very hard day for the WWE family with a heart broken. And Renee Young said, my heart breaks for anyone who has lost their job during this. I feel sick about it. Sending you guys so much love. And Paige said, my heart is breaking for my wrestling family. And we did see people like Drake Maverick post on his Twitter a video crying hysterically over this. So I just want to hear what your guys' thoughts are. Do you think this was a good decision? What do you think about the wrestlers? Where will they go next? And will they be rehired at some point by WWE?
Whew, that's a loaded
I'm just going to jump in real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. You start it.
I thought it was, at first, I didn't think it was great that anyone lost their job, but the money-saving aspect, of course, I saw that perspective. But when I saw that tweet about Goldberg, it just, like, sent me over the top. Because I was like, if you really are throwing money away like that for something, for, like, Goldberg, like, he really was money thrown away. Like, I'm going to say it. Brock Lesnar as well. We know how much he gets paid. And just you could have shaved. You could have done anything to kind of try and save everyone's jobs. But just knowing that, the fact that they are using it so frivolously on other things, but they took people's jobs away, that was the biggest thing for me. Of course, my heart goes out to everybody who lost their jobs. It's such a hard time. But yeah, that was my biggest thought. It was like the fact that they're wasting all that money on that kind of thing is what, like, took it over the top for me.
Tom?
Well, I mean, you can't... It's... I feel bad for all of them that lost their jobs. I think it's... It sucks. And the thing that you have to think about of WWE is that we all know that there's people behind the scenes that lost their jobs as well or got furloughed for right now. Who knows when they're coming back, you know? If they're coming back. But if you're WWE, and I get you're trying to save money, but guess what? You're still making TV shows and you're still getting paid. I think I saw it's like $70 million a month or something for these TV contracts. And I don't know if that's Raw and SmackDown combined or that's each, but I don't understand why they would do this right now. It doesn't seem like it seems real crappy of them to be like, well, we got to just get all these people out of here now because we might as well, like, why couldn't you wait? What's another month or two going to do? We're like, let's see what's happening with this. And then at the end of the summer, if things are still looking bleak, then just be like, listen, we kept you guys on, but we just can't do this right now. Like, it just doesn't work for us. I think that would be way better. And I think it just doesn't make them look good in the eyes of other companies around the world, especially other wrestling companies that are not doing this and are paying their people that work for them. Like, mm-hmm. I get you have such a huge company and there's a lot of people that work for you. But I also did see something too about the tax dividends that they're getting as well. So it's like, they're still going to be making profit at the end of this year with what's happening right now. So it's like, unless you're not going to make profit, then I understand the idea of cutting people. But the fact that you're probably going to make one of the highest profits you've ever made to date, and now you're going to make more money because now you're not paying all these people, it's just bull. I mean, I don't know. It really, to me, being a wrestling fan and being a fan of WWE, like, it really disheartens me and makes me just, I don't, sadly, not want to be a fan of them anymore. Like, I don't know where I, like, me being a fan and watching, like, where I even fit in this anymore. Like, I don't know if I even want to watch them now. It's like, I can just not watch. Like, it's not like, and just read recaps of what happened. Like, it's not gonna hurt me physically or, you know, more emotionally, being like, oh, I really love wrestling, but it makes me feel really crappy to see people being treated this way.
Right.
Yeah, it's because usually around this time of year, there's usually post WrestleMania cuts. Maybe 4, 5, 7 superstars, you know, like on a big year. And those are people that, you know, we really haven't seen on TV in a long time. So obviously not trying to like pinpoint anyone on these lists, but, you know, like your Primo, your Epico, your Eric Young, those guys who are just not being used at all. Whether this was happening or not, they might have not made it through this. They may have, they may not. Who knows? We have never seen anything to the extent of there is near like 30 names. And that's just the ones that have been reported. And who knows? Like, there's so many other towns in NXT, so many people, like you said, behind the scenes that are either being released or furloughed. And the thought with that is there are so many stories from different companies or even different sport organizations.
Yeah.
Where they're sending requests, like, you know, trying to make agreements of pay cuts, or these people are going to lower their salary for X amount of time, or the request, like the NBA is trying to have the after a certain date, they're cutting NBA player salaries by 25%. Well, they're trying to like see, because they're trying to work with each other, make some type of agreement, because they understand, okay, because there's no money coming in, we have to make some type of adjustments. WWE, as you said, Tom, is still having money come in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an issue of then, okay, well, we got to make these cuts or we got to lower people's pay because we're about to lose money. You're not losing the money. And then why aren't, as some companies, you know, they like the CEO, like some of the highest ups, are cutting their salary and trying to help their employees. Those are ones that are not unions. Well, WWE ain't a union. So why aren't they trying to do that to help with the PR, to help each other? While, like you said, AEW hasn't done anything like this. Ring of Honor hasn't done anything like this.
Can I speak to this for a second? Because I think I know why. So WWE is a publicly traded company, meaning there's investors, right? So what my understanding is that, from my own opinion, is that this could be a situation where, you know, they had their projections for the year, and obviously everyone was thrown off by the coronavirus situation and the economy and the stock market's crashing. So now, even if WWE is not losing money in the sense of, like, they're not going to be a company, they won't be around, they're still profitable. The investors are probably losing money and the people that have stock in it. So to them, because I watched this documentary recently. If you guys watch Netflix, Dirty Money, it's really interesting. Every episode's about a different scandal, but it all involves money, fraud, whatever. And there was a situation with Wells Fargo. So go watch the Wells Fargo episode. But it kind of ties into this a little bit, because if you're not meeting the investor needs of what they're expecting and the projections, to them, it's a loss. So to save them, they're probably laying off, getting rid of these people in order to save on the back end so that these investors can still make as much money as they're supposed to make, which, to be honest, it's not ethical. It may not be good values when you're looking at humanity and people and, like, livelihood, but we live in a capitalist society in America, and that's how business is run. And so, you know, business is number one, unfortunately, to these people that are running the businesses. So I think that that's what's happening, and it has nothing to do with anything else. And honestly, like, in my opinion, yes, you could get rid of one person, like a Goldberg, and not use him the rest of the year to save you that $4 million for 1 month. Yeah, we'll see what happens next month. But, I mean, they're not going to do that. They want their big names to draw in people, especially during times when they don't know if viewership could be hard to come by.
I agree with everything that's – I'm sorry to cut you off, Tom, but I'm agreeing with everything that you're saying, Gabby. The one thing that I would throw in with that, though, is one other big issue when it comes to stocks is PR. Mm-hmm. This is not positive PR at all for the WWE. Like you said, the entire top 10 trending items on Twitter were all negative things about what was happening with the WWE. That affects the stock market, too. It might not affect
the big investors. Yeah, the stock market's already coming down because Corona, so.
Right, but it also still affects... You know, it might not affect the big investors, but it impacts if I wanted to go on and buy some stock or sell some of those, like, you know, like, oh, this is a bad move by them. I might not want to represent that company. Mm-hmm. And it affects it that way. Tom, I cut you off.
Yeah. I mean, also, WWE, their stocks are not, they're not like a Apple or whatever, sure. Google, where it's like $500 a stock. It's like $30 to $80 a share or something like that. But to me, I get what you're saying, Gabby, but in the end, they are still getting money in. So it's like, you're basically getting money in, and I get they want to keep their stockholders. And I did see there was like,
it's not just stockholders. Like, it's not people like me and you. I'm talking about like their big investors.
No, I know. But also like there was people, but they're still putting on three TV shows a week. And they're still getting commercials and payment through that. You know what I mean?
But
like if you're Starburst
still
or Snickers,
money.
But they're not though because they're still like
in the eye of an investor, they're losing money. But that's my point. Not in the eye of like me and you, like the average everyday person. But the in the eye of a business perspective, like the investor is going to have to take a decrease. So they want to kind of minimize that gap how much the investor is going to lose. I think
I get that, but I also think it's like a weird, it sucks because they are a publicly traded company to where like, if they were more private, I could see it. This not happening because of that. But like the fact that, I don't know, it's like weird. It's like you all work together and you're a big family and like, it's, you know, we're all part of this WWE universe and the WWE family. And they're just like, oh, but, you know, Jim so-and-so invested $2 million in us. And, oh, he's only going to get a $1 million return this year. Sorry, you know, Epico and Primo, but you don't get no money anymore. Like, have fun. You know what I mean? It's like
the greedy side of business.
Yeah, it is. It is. And mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a weird thing to have happen. And it just sucks for, you know, all those people. I also feel like there's the flip side too, is that it's a blessing in disguise for a bunch of these people, like on this list, where I think, you know, it's a good way of them getting out of the company that, you know, they were in very long contracts with. I think I saw like either Gallows and Anderson or Maria and Mike were in contracts till like 2024 or something. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's another 4 years away where they're, you know, Mike Kanellis is doing, you know, kind of on 205 Live, but then he's like sitting at home most of the time this year.
And
like,
catering.
Yeah. Or yeah, if he even gets brought to the show. I don't know if he even gets brought to the show every week, like before when they were doing arena shows. So it's like he's just sitting at home doing nothing. And I think that also adds to the, like, I mean, greediness of WWE to where let's lock down everybody so nobody else can get these people, but also let's lock them down, but then not do anything with them. So, and then when they want out of their contract, be like, nope, 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 nope. Sorry, you're not going anywhere. You're ours, even though you're independent contractors.
But that's also, you agree to sign that. So if you agree to sign that 4-year contract, sitting on your couch doing nothing, and you know that that's happening. And...
But you don't agree to sit on your couch when you sign that contract.
No, but like, you have to understand that. Like,
hey, if they want to give me a contract to sit on my couch, sure. Sign me up.
But that's also when you could probably renegotiate. If you feel like, hey, like I'm not doing anything, you could probably walk in there and try to renegotiate that contract.
Like we saw it though. We've seen it over the last year. Luke Harper tried to get out of his contract multiple times. If you listen to Talk Is Jericho,
to be honest.
Sean Spears, same thing. Like, I mean,
it's Mike Kanellis won. Because he was threatened to leave, and they re-signed him, so we got more money. And
exactly, yeah. So at least he like was smart. At least I would think that's smart. Of like, hey, okay, fine. If you're not gonna let me go, then give me more money, and then I'll, you know, hopefully they're socking this money away and saving it.
Yeah.
Well, also, you know, talking about some of the producers we lost, I find it odd that like. Example, Sarah Stock is a producer that was laid off, but it's like, but she was actively working and creative on the storyline of Mandy Rose and the Otis and Sonya Deville, Dolph Ziggler situation. So why was someone who's creating such a great storyline, a female writer nonetheless, during this time of the women's evolution and everything, being laid off?
And the mastermind behind that storyline, I'm forgetting her last name. Her first name was Andrea. She was actually a comedian out here in Los Angeles, got signed. She was the mastermind starting that whole storyline. She was also one of the people that was released or furloughed. And that's one of the things of we've said on this show, between the four of us, we're like, what's his best storyline going into WrestleMania? We're all pretty much in agreement that it was Otis and Mandy. So...
It's crazy that
they're removing some of those people as well. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, and so essentially it's odd because they're currently obviously working during this. Like, it's not like they're sitting at home on their couch. They're actually actively creating creative. So that was odd to me. But on top of all this, you also have people that may not have been announced to be laid off or furloughed. Mm-hmm. But are probably in that same situation. Maybe WWE's keeping it hush hush because they don't want to, PR wise, like you guys mentioned, make it worse. Because obviously there's a lot of kickback from those announcements. So, and a lot of like terrible memes and things going around, like I read earlier, the one tweet. But I have been looking at people we're friends with and know at WWE, and you guys have as well. And we noticed that some of their Instagram handles have changed. Their bios have changed. They've removed their affiliation with WWE or NXT or whatever it may be. So are they signaling to us that they are now disconnected and furloughed, laid off? I don't know, but we're seeing that on social media with people that haven't even been announced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're right. And who knows how long it'll be before we do find out about those people. Okay. And I think we're all pretty much in agreement also saying the fact that they're not done. Like, we're probably going to see more of these released, more news. Wednesday appeared to be the day for the bulk of them. I mean, are people are kind of biting their nails looking at the calendar when Wednesday hits, because all of a sudden we might have another round of this.
Right. But yeah, but also, is it Wednesday? Because we were kind of talking about it earlier. I looked at the list and I go, there's no one from SmackDown on this list. Mm-hmm. So does that stuff start happening Monday? Or do we wait again until Wednesday or Thursday, like after Raw and then NXT, and then go from there again? Where I just don't think it's going to stop. It's like, unless you're in a major storyline.
Yeah.
I think you're kind of, you know.
Four months ago, Rusev was in the biggest storyline on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
True.
The year ended on Monday Night Raw with the wedding.
Yeah.
Also,
you have a call from Mark Carano, don't answer it.
There's a lot of that going around, yeah. I also want to also take note that Ringside News reported from an inside source, Brad Shepard's reporting, that WWE said Vince McMahon is miserable over the whole situation. He had to lay off some employees who are not only tenured, but also loyal. So think about that. Some of these employees are tenured.
Mike Chioda.
Yeah, Mike Chioda. Wow.
1989 is when he started.
I wasn't even born. Yeah.
It could be that he's making a lot of money, and so you know, like, it could be that his salary is high up there, so he's like, well, we're
gonna, I think it's like a that, yeah. and it's also like they want, you know, we've always been told that they want, like, which is so funny. I'm gonna say this out loud and then we're gonna laugh about it. They want younger looking people on TV, yet your WrestleMania headliner is Goldberg. Okay. All gray beard Goldberg.
Okay, but again, you're talking about cutting the cost. Why doesn't Shane cut his salary?
I did see that they did say that all executives and board members were not getting paid. I did. Okay. There was like a leak of a video Vince made to the employees. I saw the transcript of it. Who knows how real that was.
If that's happening, okay, that helps. But
I don't think they got a cut. Or they're not getting paid right now. I forget what it said. But.
So you guys, I'm not sure about that either. But there's also a return date that was given to employees that were furloughed, and that date is July 1st, but it isn't concrete. The employees could return sooner or later than that. It really just depends on the economy and when the office can open back up. Because even though they're running business with their tapings, I don't think the office is running business. So the quote also said, I'm sure Trump has a big influence on what happens. Vince being a Trump guy, you know, he'll be first in line to try and open things back up as soon as possible. That could be very good news for the employees for load. Well, speaking of that, it's also been news that Vince McMahon is on, it was announced by actually Business Insider that Vince McMahon is one of 20 people on the advisory board to reopen the economy that Trump has, you know, put in place to help with this reopening, the three phases that were announced through the media recently of reopening our economy. So Vince McMahon will be one of those people.
Would you guys go to the first show that opened? Say they were like Staples Center, first SmackDown.
No.
I wouldn't either.
No. Really? I'm so ready to
get my mask. Let's see my mask and my gloves. Like, I go,
Alexa. That security wouldn't let you in because they don't normally allow people wearing masks into wrestling events.
Well, they're going to have to now.
Yeah. I'll buy my sheet mask at the merch stand, my black sheet mask. You're like, stay away.
Well, listen,
where's a shield mask from WrestleMania, like WrestleMania 30? They had those cool masks they came out with.
Yeah.
When it is safe to go to events, I cannot wait to get out and go to an event and be around people
and see something fun.
I'm so over staying inside, but we're doing it.
When it's completely safe.
Yes. Yeah, it's just like day one. No, I'm going to wait a little longer.
Yeah.
So Kirby's going to help me finish the rest of the news here.
Sure.
So additionally, hello. Say hi. If you're watching the video, you guys can all see Curbs. So, also, in addition to everything going on, the XFL has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So, I also have a feeling that maybe a reason why some of these employees are being let go, even though they're individual companies, could be that Vince is filing for bankruptcy as he is connected to the XFL.
Yeah, that doesn't help anything.
It was filed by
Vince definitely lost a lot of money.
Alpha Entertainment. And so it lists that the league has both 10 to 50 million in estimated assets and estimated liabilities. It's just very interesting. So I almost wonder if like that bankruptcy, on top of losing arena sales, tickets, and merch sales, that all combined is what's going on. Because obviously he's still shooting for Fox and USA. So it's not the TV schedule. It's the sales and the merch from the shows.
Sure.
Yeah, it's the live events that are not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the last bit of information I think we should really like talk about is the fact that WWE's Howard Finkel passed away also this week. He was 69 years old. He was the first employee at WWE, and he is known to be the most recognizable voice in the history of the company. And so this was a big loss this week on top of all the layoffs in the news. So I know it's just been a very like overwhelming time right now for WWE fans and WWE employees. So any thoughts you guys want to put out about that?
I mean, Howard Finkel was the guy. Now, I know Bryant already mentioned on how young he is, so he might not have as good of an idea of this, but he
Very
was
true.
The voice of multiple generations, and it's pretty much forever. It's been every aspiring wrestler's dream to hear the Fink say, "And no, I can't do it," but. But like just to emphasize the and new champion, I mean that was like my dream as a kid was to win the Intercontinental Championship and hear the Fink say my name, and then you know when started doing all these interviews and started working for AfterBuzz or for whatever, you know, I'm getting a chance to meet all these people. One of my big ones that unfortunately I never got a chance. Like I need to interview Fink because I need to beg him on video to announce me, and like I'll do whatever it takes to do it, but unfortunately it never happened because he's like you said, the first employee. He's the one who came up with the name WrestleMania. He is the voice.
Uh-huh.
And you see all different current past wrestlers that you know tweeted or posted their condolences. Everyone had a caring story. Like the one that really got me was Vicky Guerrero. She tweeted about when Eddie passed away, the Fink flew on the plane with Eddie's body from Minnesota to Phoenix or wherever they live because he didn't want Eddie to travel alone. And it's just like, that's just like a glimpse of the kindness that this guy was to everyone in the wrestling family. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be incredibly missed.
Definitely. Sure. Anybody else have thoughts that they want to share on that?
I mean, I just think it's just that iconic voice. This is welcome to WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Like they play it at every.
I was terrible, but still better than me.
but yeah, I mean, I think it's just it's been a heavy week.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well. We send our condolences to obviously Howard Finkel and his family, and then anybody else who's been affected by any of the firings, layoffs, furloughs this week as well. And I know that with Howard Finkel, Tommy Dreamer had been a very close friend of his, and he also posted on Twitter, like, you know, he was very upset, but, like, he had been there for him, which was really sweet. There's been a lot of tributes, people, you know, saying how they felt about him, like Josh had mentioned. And because we always end Wrestling Wrap with Kevin Owens, I'm going to let you guys know what Kevin Owens had to say about this. Well, he had retweeted what WWE's statement was about the WWE Hall of Famer. And then this was his quote. He said, "Howard was the best. It's that simple. I'll never forget the last few times I saw him. The excitement he still had for the industry, the genuine concern he showed when asking about how my family was doing despite his own declining health. I'm so grateful I got to know him." So I'll end it off there for our Wrestling Wrap this week. Thanks, Kevin. And thanks to all you guys for being a part of our show. And please leave your comments with your thoughts on Wrestling Wrap and any of the things we discussed in today's podcast.
Absolutely. And you guys know there's still plenty more with these news, with all these releases and furloughs. I'm sure next week we'll have even more insight in it. We'll be talking more about it then. And you know, there's some wrestling too. So, you know, maybe we'll talk about that from time to time. But please keep the conversation going. Like I said, put your favorite memories of Howard Finkel or your thoughts on the news that we were just discussing in the comments on YouTube, on iTunes. And of course, you can talk to us all over social media. Bryant, how can people reach out to you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at TheBryantSantos and on AfterBuzz TV's Quarantine with the Stars.
All right, Tom.
You can find me Twitter, Instagram, TomTheCom. Also, check out 3D Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or 3D Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm still printing masks for healthcare workers, 3D printing them. I just delivered 100 on Friday. My goal is to try to do 100 a week, about 20 a day-ish, like during the week. If you want to donate or help out, you can check out that.
Tom's a damn superhero. Gabby.
You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Gabby Loren TV, and also subscribe to my Patreon. It's really, oh my God, I always say Patron.
Yes, girl. I'll subscribe.
I always do that. You know what's so funny? When I was at, like, because I first started my Patron before I even really did anything to it when I was at doing. I used to, whatever, you know what I mean. But I used to always ask all the other wrestlers, like, how do you do Patron? And they're like, Patron, wait, you mean Patreon? And I'm like, oh, yeah, shoot. I literally, for the longest time, thought it was Patron, like the alcohol. And I love tequila. But yeah,
again, no, all of you were sponsored Patreon. By Patron.
Yeah, no, my Patreon, it's patreon.com/GabbyLaurenTV. Follow me on there. And I really support, I mean, I really appreciate your support, especially Jesse Lucas. Shout out to you for joining. I'm very thankful for you. Thanks.
I forgot to mention a really quick 30-second Kevin Owens thing for Gabby. I meant to say it when you were bringing up the Owens story. So, you know, with all this downtime that we've been having, I was FaceTiming my nephew, who I've talked about on the show, big wrestling fan, and we were playing a game of, you know, okay, whose finishing move is this? Because he wanted to try to stunt me, and me being the competitive person, like, all right, bring it, kid. And there was one point where he goes, whose finishing move is the stunner? And I said, oh, that's Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I said, yeah, but it's also Kevin Owens. You didn't say that, so you're wrong. And I was just like, you got me. He's right. Awesome. I'm not.
He's awesome.
I wanted to make sure you knew that story, Gabby. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Tariff. Josh Talks on YouTube. Look me up. I got interviews up there right now with various wrestlers. This week, this coming Tuesday, my guest is going to be Ryan Nemeth, former NXT superstar known as Briley Pierce. He's got a new movie coming out. We talk about that. And for all your other news and gossip in the world of AfterBuzz, follow them on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV. Thanks so much for all tuning in, guys. For Gabby Loren, Tom Connolly, and Brian Santos, I'm Josh Sheriff, and we will see you later.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.